Please be seated. So this morning at the 10:30 service, this is going to be a totally different space than what it is right now. We're going to have lovely animals who will be blessed. And so we do that near the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi. And C.K. Chesterton, a renowned theologian, believes that Francis of Assisi, the saint who has launched a million bird baths, hundreds of thousands of statues, and the service of the blessing of the animals, was the one Christian he could identify who actually lived the gospel. Francis was the son of a wealthy textile merchant and a part of the new Italian middle class that was coming into its own. His father's wealth and Francis's own natural charisma made him the leader of the youth of his town. Francis gained sort of a rock star status by the early 1200s, and he remains famous today not because of his own words and actions so much as because his words and actions conformed so closely to those of Jesus. Francis's path toward God was more gradual, occurring over a period of time rather than one instantaneous conversion event. Francis's life was profoundly changed by at least two formative experiences. On a pilgrimage to Rome, Francis saw a beggar outside of St. Peter's Church. The Holy Spirit moved him to trade places with the beggar. And Francis exchanged clothes with the beggar and then spent the day begging for alms. The experience of being poor shook Francis to his core. And later he confronted his own fears of leprosy by hugging a leper. Like trading places with the beggar in Rome, hugging a leper left a deep mark on Francis. Shaped by his experiences with the beggar and the leper, he had a strong identification with the poor. Francis cut himself off from the luxurious lifestyle of his father and sought to live a radically simple life. By the time of his death, the love of God had compelled Francis to accomplish much toward rebuilding the church. He could look on thousands of lives transformed by his call for repentance and simplicity of life. Yet, Francis of Assisi was simply a man transformed by the love of God and the joy that flowed from a deep understanding of all that God has done for us. Francis' approach to his life of Christian service fits with Jesus' words to us in today's gospel when he tells those who follow him that they are to serve with no thought of reward. Jesus reminds us with a challenging question. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. So, when we come in from doing something for God, we should not expect a reward. Only more work. It's a wonder the crowds followed Jesus at all. But what exactly is the work of God? In what way are we to serve him? We have the example of Francis to add to that of Jesus' own life and ministry. Yet, how can we, in our own time and place, attempt to live more fully into the gospel? First, there is no getting around the fact that the Bible knows nothing of professional clergy serving a congregation. The Bible teaches that all Christians are ministers of the Bible by virtue of their baptism. Then, as ministers, each of us has a wide variety of jobs to do in the kingdom of God based on the gifts God has given us. While congregations may benefit from the ministry of priests and deacons. The real work of the church happens when the people in the pews live out their faith in their day-to-day lives. This includes, as you can imagine, many thankless tasks, showing love and mercy in small ways, and even when no one notices. You know how thankless these tasks are because you have the same issue at home. Do you get thanked every time you do the dishes or cut the grass or wash the laundry or make your bed or do your homework? Probably not. But permit time to pass without doing the dishes or cutting the grass or washing the laundry or making your bed or doing homework, and you are sure to hear about it. These are thankless tasks, and you take them on with no thought to getting praise for doing them. Notice that in this gospel reading, Jesus tells of the servant who does what he or she is supposed to do in response to the disciples asking for more faith. First, he tells them the parable of the mustard seed and how the tiniest amount of faith is enough to accomplish great things for God. Then he goes on to describe the thankless task of serving God the Father. It is in serving God that we find our faith strengthened. We are not to serve others for the thanks we get. We are to serve others because we serve a resurrected Lord. Because that is the life God calls us to. We will benefit in increased faith and increased love. Francis took his mustard seed of faith and used it to trust that he could hug a leper, though he was terribly afraid. In the process, he found the faith to work among lepers. And so, again and again, his steps of faith emboldened Francis to trust God more. It is the same for us. Each step of faith strengthens our trust in God to follow even more boldly. And continuing with the theologian who I mentioned at the beginning, C.K. Chesterton, he wrote, "Let your religion be less of a theory and more of a love affair." That was Francis. That could be us, living out a love affair with God. Walking the life of faith is not done in search of thanks or praise, but is simply an act of love. Then you and I can join Francis in saying that we are merely servants doing what we are called to do. We call ourselves servants, knowing that what we do for love, for the one who knows us fully and loves us more than we could ever ask for or imagine.